Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Right, wake up everybody. Welcome to MPH Radio. As the voice of MPH Radio, we welcome everyone to this special program on Saturday, June 13, 2019. This program today is honoring and remembering George Floyd, and the struggle continues. That's the nature and theme of this program today. Let me invite all of you who are listening out there to feel free to call in during the program, participate by calling 818-337-0016 to share views and perspectives on this recent young man who was recently assassinated and recently buried this past week in the state of Texas. We're going to talk about what is going on. We're going to talk about the impact of his assassination. And we're going to talk about what you can do and how you feel in terms of what's happening today. So this is the order of the agenda for today. But before we do that, to get to the major core of this particular program, like always on Missing Pages of History, we'd like to give you something to think about. So we're going to ask you to take out a pen and a piece of paper. Once you write these particular quotes down, we're going to talk a little bit about or give you something to think about in the context of freedom. Everybody talk about freedom. Everybody say they want freedom. Millions and millions and millions of people have died over this concept of freedom. We want you to think about what freedom is to you. So we highlighted some concepts from different individuals who gave us their definition concept of freedom. We want you to think about it and see if you can use their concept in your daily lives. So let's give you just a little something to think about. When we listened to Brother Che from Cuba, Argentina, he stated, "We have no right to believe that freedom can be won without struggle." Let me repeat that again. He stated, "We have no right to believe that freedom can be won without struggle." Now, that was his definition of freedom. How does that fit into yours? Next, we go to slave master and sucker president of the United States of America. He had an interesting concept of freedom. Based upon his history, he stated, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery." That's interesting coming from Thomas Jefferson. "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery." And what do you think about his concept of freedom? For our next concept, we have a concept from John Lennon, who stated, "Tame birds sing of freedom, wild birds fly." John Lennon stated, "Tame birds, they sing of freedom. They sing of freedom while wild birds fly." That's interesting. Going from that definition to another definition is Carl Jung. He raised the issue of freedom is, without freedom, there can be no morality. Without freedom, there can be no morality. What do you think about that? And last not least, from someone I know, they stated that the other side of fear lies freedom. Now, that's a really interesting one. The other side of fear lies freedom. So we gave you something to think about in the concept of freedom. We want you to think about that. We're going to do right now. We're going to pause for this call. So when we come back, we come with Susan. She's going to give you a black benefact. But this time, it's going to be in the concept of an article of interest that applies to what's going on today. So we're going to pause for this call. So when we come back, we're going to give you a black benefact in the concept of an article of interest. We'll be right back, and you'll listen to Missing Pages of History. We must teach the children.
If I
going to do right now, welcome back to MPH Radio. We're going to remind the people how things used to be. When we say used to be, that was time when real learning was taking place. We were teaching our youth about their history, about their culture, about their world, and the responsibility they have not only to themselves, but to make a better world for all people. We're going to do that by starting off right now, giving you some black mini facts, and today we're going to do an article of interest titled "The Black Woman Who Paved the Way for This Movement." The Black Women Who Paved the Way for this movement. And Susie, who is a contributor, a member of MPH, she will read this, share the particular article of interest with you. Susie, welcome to MPH Radio.
Good evening. Hi. This article is coming from The Atlantic by Keisha N. Bain, which was wrote on June the 9th, 2020, and she's a history professor at the University of Pittsburgh. In cities across the United States, black activists are denouncing state-sanctioned violence and demanding racial changes to American policing. Black women leaders occupy a central role in these movements, utilizing public spaces such as city parks and streets. They are advocating for equality and justice and giving voice to historical truth many Americans find uncomfortable. From the activist Tamika Mallory, who spoke before a crowd of protesters in Minneapolis, to the Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors, who voted the growing movement to defund the police. Black women are at the forefront of the protests sparked by police killings of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Tony McDade. But the prominence of black women in these protests is not a sudden development. In taking to the streets in support of their goals, they are building upon a rich tradition of black women's organizing. In the 20th century U.S., black nationalist women, individuals who advocated for black liberation, economic self-sufficiency, racial pride, unity, and political self-determination, emerged as key political leaders on the local, national, and even international levels. When most black women in the U.S. did not have access to vote, these women boldly confronted the hypocrisy of white America, often drawing upon their knowledge of history. And they did so in public spaces, in mass community meetings, at local parks and on walks. These women harnessed the power of their voices, passion, and the raw authenticity of political message to rally black people across the nation and the globe. In the early 1920s, Amy Ashwood Garvey, co-founder of the United Negro Improvement Association, advocated for the rights and freedom of black people while standing on a crowded street corner in Harlem, using these spaces as platform to advance her political agenda. Ashwood held nothing back, imploring black people to resist white supremacy in all of its forms. On several occasions, the activist publicly recited poetry, including Paul Laurence Dunbar's famous work, "We Wear the Mask," which emphasized the strategies black people employ to survive segregation, oppression, and daily degradation. In one speech, Ashwood reminded Harlem individuals that the struggle of black people in the U.S. could not be divorced from the challenges facing people of African descent around the globe. "The Negro question is no longer a local one," Ashwood argues, "but the Negroes of the world joining hands and fighting for one common cause." She went on to tell her listeners that they could not attain democracy unless they win it for themselves. And there we have many facts from Amy Ashwood Garvey and from Tamika Mallory and Patrice Coolers. Those are just some small mini facts as of June 9th, 2020.
Okay, what we do right now, we're going to pause for a quick station break, and when we come back, we're going to have some presentation around the theme tonight, George Floyd, and it's going to continue, and we're going to have a cry from a mother. We're going to have some thoughts from mothers who have been impacted by the recent assassination of George Floyd. That's coming up when we come back right now. Let's give our praise to all of the great mothers of past, present, and future. We'll be right back. You're listening to MPH Radio.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the street. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Had tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who's thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a queen mama, you always was a black queen mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, there ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold, showed a young brother love. I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I sang it. I ain't guilty, cause even though I said it feels good putting money in your mailbox, I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you, cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. Just working with the scraps she was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. Trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you,
sweetie. And dear mama,
place no one above you.
You all appreciate it. Pour out some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweet.
Dear mama,
place no one above you.
You all appreciate it.
MPH Radio. Dear Mama, how we love you. Yes, we love our mother, and we see the love for our mother. To Brother Joy's sentiment, reactions, his last words and last cry were to his mother. How special our mothers are. And how special Brother George is, because based upon his assassination and the life he lived, we will not forget it. And we will continue to struggle to make sure that not only does freedom come to African people and people under communities that are underserved, but for all mankind. We would like to give our praise and our props to memory and Brother George Floyd today by bringing in some presenters who are going to talk about his life, what it means to them, and how we can continue to struggle to move forward where there's total liberation of all mankind. So right there, we can bring in Al Joyner. We'd like to bring Mr. Al Joyner in, and he's going to speak a little bit about what this particular assassination by George Floyd, by the police department, by the police, meant to him, how it has impacted on him. And I understand he recently went to one of the ceremonies that took place in Raleigh, North Carolina. Mr. Joyner, we'd like to bring you in right now. Say welcome to MPH Radio. And just first and foremost, give us a general thought on how has Mr. Floyd's assassination impacted your life as of today?
Okay, I would like to say thank you first, Mr. Robinson, for giving me this opportunity to speak to the people that you entertain with your great service to the community. Because without this service, there are a lot of things that we would not know. And so I want to say thank you for that. Then, if you don't mind, I would like to say, give me a second, as George Floyd wasn't given one. So we can just give him just a few seconds, and then I'm going to come back. Okay, I can breathe. In those brief moments, I'm hoping that all America has taken an opportunity to look back and inward at themselves. Look at the past that we came from. Look at the future that we may achieve. Only through the dreamers, only through the goal setters, only through the ones that want to climb the ladder to see the mountaintop that Martin talked about. We are in view of that mountain today. It's going to be hard to get there. The road is going to be rough. More protest is going to be sprayed. More tears in the eyes. More rocks going to be thrown. Unfortunately, more businesses may be looted. But the message is peaceful. It came out from years ago. America's been begging white and black to turn back racism, to turn it back, turn the clock back, to put it in the past. It's in the forefront now. It's up to the senator. It's up to the congressman. And unfortunately, it's up to the president to do something about it. But be not lost, because for this coming year, we have an election. It's up to the people, all the people that I've seen at the margin, on TV, on heard about on the radio, millions of people in the street marching for equality, marching to stop police brutality. Marching for equality on the job. Marching for almost everything that we dreamed of since we were slaves. You can change it, but it starts at a local level. Your local official, your state official, and finally, your president. If we don't vote, all the marching in the world don't mean nothing. we have to get out there and march. That's the most important thing that I've taken from George's death. Everything I've seen is we have to march to the poll. We have to march to vote and make sure that those voting machines are working. If we have to stand in line, force them to open tomorrow if they can't get us all in that day. America has to change. It changes through the vote. If it doesn't, then the whole creed of the country, what it was founded on, man with the ability to vote. We broke away from England. No taxation without representation. Is this not what America stands for? The vote is the most important thing that we have in our lifetime to change things.
Okay, Mr. Alexander, we're going right now come back to you. Right now we're going to go to the segment called A Voice from a Mother. We have some mothers who have volunteered their time to come and share with us some of the thoughts that they have on the recent assassination of George Floyd. And we're going to bring our first mother in at the number 5146. Mother at the last one, number 5146. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. The mic is yours. Relax for your express to the world. How has the death of George Floyd impacted your life, and what do you think about this prison situation that's going on?
Good afternoon. My heart is broken. As many moms across the world, when they saw the video of Mr. Floyd begging and pleading, saying that he could not breathe and asking for his mom, my heart is broken. Every mom across the world heard his plea. Moms are the ultimate protector of their children. And they understand that he knew he was dying. He felt his last breath was about to be taken. And I feel that. I understand for years we've been asking for a deep understanding of the misery and pain of what it's like to live in America. Regardless of where we live, regardless of our level of education, regardless of our geographical location, we feel the pain of what it's like to be black in America. It's an institution by itself. I'm reminded of something I heard years ago from Professor Derrick Bell. He talked about the faces at the bottom of the well. And he said, black people are the magical faces at the bottom of society's well. Even the poorest whites, those who must live their lives only a few levels above, gain their self-esteem by gazing down on us. Surely, they must know that their deliverance depends on letting down their ropes. Only by working together is escape possible. Over time, many reach out, but most simply watch, mesmerized into maintaining their unspoken commitment to keeping us where we are, at whatever cost to them or to us. Professor Derrick Bell understood when he wrote this quote from Faces at the Bottom of the Well, times are changing. Because I've lived long enough to see protests in the past. This protest seems to have touched the consciousness of some of the whites and some of the Hispanics, some of the Asians, and people across the world and other continents, they now feel that pain, and they're coming together to speak and share their voice and saying, we need to make a difference. This is too much hate. I've worked with children all of my adult life, white and black, Asian, Hispanics, Native Americans. As an educator, I have never mistreated a child. And I think that this, as the scripture said, you should be led by a child. The young people are saying, even if their parents taught them otherwise, they're now saying, I'm sorry. What I saw on TV, what I've seen, the murder of Mr. Floyd, this is wrong. The young voices are now saying, this is wrong. And we're going to make a difference. My heart
Thank
is broken.
You,
thank you very much for letting me speak.
I would like to thank you for such eloquent presentation of your thoughts and your feelings. Call 5146. We go to our next mother at the number 8488. Call mother at 8488. Welcome to MPH Radio.
We'd yes,
like
hello.
As a mother. Yes, the mic is
yes.
yours.
Good afternoon, Africans. I don't get on the radio often, and I'm sad to say that I just had to come on today to speak my sentiments about the horrific act that happened about 2-3 weeks ago. You know, we know we live in a system, a capitalist system. We live in a social system, so-called democratic in form, that's supposed to provide for all mankind. But even with the writing of the Constitution, we know that that's a lie, because we the people have never, those words have never or were never meant or written to include Africans or people of descent or people who are different from the Caucasian or European. But after the couple weeks, after seeing, or I remember the first time seeing the video of Mr. George Floyd being knelt upon by this white policeman who thought that he was doing something grand, the way he just put that knee on that man's neck, just took the life out of me. And to think about all of the horrific things that have happened to Africans in the past here in America, that indeed was that was a little bit much. And it was time that anybody, and I thank the young lady who actually put that video out, but it was time for us to stand up. It was time for us to move through the street, covert or not. My heart did ache, like so many mothers around this country and around the world who viewed that videotape. I can only hope and pray that, as someone said, we should continue standing up, we should continue to march. But beyond that, We need a lot more than that. We need to get at these systemic problems that we have in this system and about this system that reflect on us directly. I do know, and I was encouraged recently, about a couple days ago, I got a newsletter from Senator Evans here in, he's our senator for Pennsylvania, that he went to the White House. And they started the reform on the Justice Policing in America 2020 Act. He, along with Senator Cory Booker and Senator Harris and the Black Caucus, they have outlined individual things like the releasing, the police are never to use chokeholds, and they're never to use anything that will interfere with the flow of blood from the head to the neck and the rest of the body. be it a knee or whatever. They've actually introduced a lot of legislation that hopefully in a few weeks the House of Representatives will pass that may put a stop to what's happening to us Africans here in America. I pray for George Floyd's family, and I hope the Africans on this shore in America or anywhere around the world should never have to witness anything like that. And I
Thank
can only
you, Mother.
Say.
Finish your thought, Mother 844. Finish your thought.
No, I was just saying, I just hope I never should have, my eyes should never have to view anything like that again. And we just need to stay on top of things. We need to crush a system that will allow that and just never let up. We're never to accept that again. I don't care what it means for us to do, whether we're marching through the streets, whether we're voting, whether we have to stand behind those who we put in to represent us, to fight the laws, or whether we have an out-and-out revolt, but we should never accept that again.
Thank you, Mother 8488, for your presentation of your articulations of your thoughts and feelings on the recent assassination of George Floyd. We thank you for your contribution to today's program, and we thank both mothers for their contribution to today's program. What we're going to do right now on MPH Radio, we're going to take a station break, and when we come back, we'll come back to Al Alexander, and we'll open up our lines to you. We'd like to hear your thoughts on the impact of George Floyd assassination, what it meant to you, and how you can contribute to make a better future, not only for African people, but for as well as all of humanity. You listen to MPH Radio. We'll be right back.
We are here for all of us.
Age Radio. We will continue our respects, our tribute, our honor to Brother George Floyd. And as we said, the struggle continues. Right now, we will bring back Alexander, and we'd like to have our listening audience. If you are listening and you'd like to make your contribution to this program, feel free to call 818-337-0016 and hit 1, and we will acknowledge your last four number. Brother Alexander Joyner, how are you doing again? We got you back. I noticed one of the things from the death of Brother George is that you've written some excellent articles as it deal with certain aspects of this whole movement, this whole surrounding. And I'd like for you to share maybe some of your thoughts on some of the aspects that has, such as playing a race car or a hot with Dale. Share some of your written feelings that you have been able to articulate, and I'd like for you to share that with our listening audience and the rest of the world. And then we'll go open up our phone lines to our listening audience with their views and comments.
Okay, thank you. His death shook up the world. A tribute to George Floyd. Rest in peace. Give us peace, for we will not rest until the conviction of the police officers involved concurs and for the American dream to truly include the people of color. I wish I had known you, brother. I heard you had a smile as bright as the sun. I wish I had hung out with you. They said you knew how to party. I wish I had walked with you. I heard you were fast on your feet. I wish I had talked to you. They say you were smart and a quick thinker. I wish I had eaten with you. I heard you had a big old appetite. I wish I had played ball with you. Your best friend was in the NBA. You had to rock. I wish I had worked with you. They say you were a good worker who cared about his job. I wish I had worshiped with you, but your life was taken too soon. I feel only sympathy, disgust, and pain as you cried out, "I can't breathe. God help me. Please let me up. You're killing me." And finally, "Mama, George, I didn't get a chance to meet you in your short life. But now the world knows George Floyd. We will never live in peace until racism is put to death in America. Today we have a chance to end discrimination and bigotry. But will we end over 600 years of ignorance? George, your death will not be in vain. The officers ignored you, but the whole world heard you cry out. The good people on the right side are marching and protesting for you. George Floyd, George Floyd, George Floyd is the people's cry. It has burned the ears of the president, and he is angry and upset that he has not even given you the decency of rest. The full weight of the Department of Justice should be working night and day to help bring about a conviction and to help heal the nation. His response has been to gas and violently disperse the peaceful protesters from the grounds of the nation's church for foolishness. To the family, the world grieves with you. A good man's life was taken. No compassion, no sympathy, and no regrets by the officers who stood over him, not intervening to save someone that the world now cares about. George Floyd, a big black man, humbled himself to his tormentors who are paid to protect us, but they murdered him before our eyes. Any justice, any peace will we see in the next week, months, and years to come. Mr. Floyd, I do not know you, but there have been many who have died the same way at the hands of the police and others. Maybe now the world's criticism of these actions will make America ashamed of its long history of its injustice. For this land of the free has never been meant for any man of color like me. We lift you, George, today even as the last memory of you on the ground. Shook up the world. We can all breathe once justice will be done. Nothing but love for the family. And I presented that to the family at the funeral and racer. Our hearts are there. This is upon the attendance of the funeral and what I took back from that funeral. Our hearts were there. The funeral for George Floyd. I had to be there. There was no stopping me. As long as I had breath in my body, I was going. As I signed the sympathy cards and prepared my tribute for the family, I took a long breath, and I thank God it was not me under that cruel officer's knee. I woke early that morning. I could breathe a sigh of relief that was cloudy with no chance of rain. I drove down to Rayford, North Carolina, with great anticipation. It was hot and sweating, but I could breathe. Once out of Fayetteville, the traffic was heavy. The right lane only was for the funeral. The first thing I noticed in all that traffic control personnel, there were no men in uniform wearing blue. Only the state patrol. They wore no guns, no handcuffs, no zip ties or tasers. They were everywhere being helpful, passing out water, giving out towels and sweating, and giving directions for parking. True to the motto, we serve and protect. Yes, the bad boys in blue stayed home and out the way. Yes, it was going to be a good day. I could relax and breathe. Then the mile and a half walk to the church. Wow, my first bottle of water went in minutes. Then the line at the church. It seemed as if all of North Carolina had showed up. I stood behind many people chanting and singing. I had shouted the chants and sung the song for many marches and funerals before. I felt comfortable, and I could breathe. Then we went inside. I was not prepared for what I saw. A whole family in tears, pastors praying, women shouting and testifying in God's name. Then we moved to the front of the church, and there it was, the golden coffin of America's shame. I stood there. I couldn't breathe. For all the anger and hate the officer had for George Floyd, I felt peace and respect, but I could not breathe. The tears swelled in my eyes. My jaws tightened. My fists clenched, and my heart raced. I could not breathe. I moved towards the coffin and bowed my head. What could I say? Would George or God hear me? My moment was over fast, and I had to move on so the next person could give their respect. Still, something held my breath as I walked back into the light outside. I saw more people coming, and then I saw more family cars, and as they exited, they did so with grace and respect. Seeing the positiveness on their faces, I could breathe. I now had to go back in, and one of the pastors of the church met me and received my cards and tribute for the family and directed me where to go. It was an experience I will never forget, all the songs that were sung and all the good words spoken, all the good fellowship that came out in a bad situation of a most wrongful death. I sat there and took it all in. I did what I came to do. Offered my best to the family in despair of answers for murder. It was about George Floyd and other people of color being freed of police brutality and inequality. As we walked out, someone started to take a knee. The crowd moaned and someone said, please, not here. I am glad they did. I wouldn't have been able to breathe again. I can't get that bad image of murder out of my mind.
Okay.
Also,
Let me pause right there, Mr. Jordan, and we're going to take some callers, and we'll come back to you later on. Okay, let's take some callers.
Okay,
we'd like to show their sympathy and support in honor of our brother George Floyd. We'll go to caller 6057. Welcome to MPH Radio. 6057.
Thanks for having me. My condolences to the Floyd family for the ordeal they've had to live through during these past few weeks. And I want to thank Brother Joyner for his very eloquent writing regarding George Floyd's transition. The thing I take away from this occurrence and the demonstrations and uprisings that it has sparked is that we need to be more organized as a people. I think voting is a very critical step, but I think more important over and beyond that, we have to be more thoroughly organized as a people to hold our political leadership accountable for the decisions and actions that they take while they're in office. A lot of times there's a lot of emphasis placed on voting, but there's very little emphasis placed on holding people accountable for the decisions they make once they get on the job. And that can only be done through independent, permanent organization. People are yearning for change, and people around the world are showing their solidarity, support, and sympathy for what happened to George Floyd and the ordeal that his family is going through at this time. What I hope comes out of this is that people recognize that reforms are not enough. That we have to change the system that allowed this to occur, and that can only come about through permanent political organization.
Thank you, caller, for your contribution to today's program. We now will go to caller 6029. Caller 6029, welcome to MPH Radio.
Yes, of course, my condolences to the family in terms of tragedy that confronted this young man. The thing is that, keeping in mind, when we look at these kind of atrocities, we got to keep in mind that these are not isolated incidents. And more importantly, I think we have to begin to understand that we're talking about a systematic injustice that inflicted upon the people. And so when I talk about systematic, we got to understand clearly this causes the spanning of economics, politics, and social as well. Now, the thing is, I think people have to understand, particularly with respect to economics, is that one of the real problems in society, because it is a capitalist society, that fundamentally what's happening is that there's been a great disparity between wealth. And this disparity in wealth is directly attributable to the policies that are in place to ensure that increasingly the small minority of people, about 1% of the population, accrued more and more of the wealth. And the problem with this approach in terms of economics is that when you give all this capital, all this money to a small minority of individuals, it means that you disempower a larger and larger number of people. And, of course, among those people, those people who are disempowered disproportionately have to be African people. And so for the state or for the government, it creates a very unique problem, because now you have a situation where you got a large increasing number of African people who don't have access to jobs, who don't have access to the possibility of a job. So this creates a fundamental problem. And one of the things, when we talk about, in fact, there's currently stimulus payments that are going out through the country, keep in mind, lots and lots of people haven't received their money as yet, which means that the likelihood they will not receive those money. So in addition to the unemployment, then you got the increasing levels of poverty. So clearly it creates a real problem, systematic problem for the state. And the question for the state, of course, is with all these people who are unemployed, for all these people impoverished, for all these people who have no hope, what are you going to do with these people? Well, as far as the state is concerned, the only way you can keep people in line is to terrorize them. That's the only way they can do it. And, of course, we talk about incarceration. Of course, incarceration is one aspect in terms of controlling the population. But the problem with incarceration is that at some point it becomes self-defeating. In other words, you simply don't have the funds in terms of incarcerating everybody, which means that the whole emphasis on terrifying people become much more important from an economic standpoint. So we can anticipate more George Floyds in the future going forward, and we should not deceive ourselves in thinking that simply if we vote, that it's going to, in fact, change the objective reality in terms of how this capitalist system operates. So having said that, I think what the previous caller alluded to, and he talked about the importance in terms of organization, organization is the key. If we don't have the organization, the reality is that there's only humanly possible to combat the systematic injustices that inflicted African people. So we have to have the organization. But I'll conclude by simply saying that, you know, again, my condolences to the family of George Floyd, and I encourage the African community to be particularly vigilant in terms of these kind of things, because this is only the tip of the iceberg.
Thank you, Carly, for your contribution to today's program. And we'll go to your mother online. We have a mother online. You're going to call her 8488. Call her 8488. Welcome to MPH. Your thoughts as a mother as relates to George Floyd and his assassination. Call 8488. Call her once. Call her 8488. Any comments? Questions 8488. Okay, let's try the last caller. Caller, your last one number is 9981. Your thoughts, caller 9981. Yes, we
Hello?
Can hear you.
Okay.
Yes, 9981. Your thoughts and comments.
Actually, I'm calling from Germany. Can you hear me?
Oh, from Germany. Welcome to Mid-Asia History. We're honored to have you. Your thoughts and comments on the recent death of George Floyd and what's recently going on around the world as it relates to his death. How has it impacted you? What are your thoughts? Yes, caller.
Yes, I can tell you my thoughts. First of all, I would like to thank my brother for doing this interview with you today. And my past brother, Emmanuel, was also a host at your show. For many, many years, the Joyner family has continually tried to push forward through racial integration because our family is a part of that history. I recall an incident, and I hope my brother remembers it, when Alec Krekor and I were at Davis Chapel Baptist Church, and I, being the oldest, I got him to follow me along with Krekor to the church because he wanted to hear what our cousin Leon White, who was a minister during that time, during the Civil Rights Movement, was talking about. And we saw how the police came down the street. We were afraid. We were trying to get back home. And our grandmother came out and got us out of that mess. We watched how the police officers battled people that were peaceful in front of a church. And he's right. This should stop because there was a beginning and there should always be an end. So I would just like to say I admire you, Alec, for what you are doing and for what you're saying today. George Floyd has also impacted Europe as well. This is the first time I've seen the whole world stand up and make one solid motion together. As a soldier, we learn to march, and we march on the left, and we follow through on the right. And that's what it seems like the world is doing. The United States pulled out on the left, and now the other countries are pulling out on the right. And if we end this, then we have ended our rights to freedom. This is a march that should continue on for years to go, and it should not end until we are treated like them. When a white man says, I don't mind being black, that is when racism is over. And when that day comes, then we know we are finally free, because we will not be free as long as the attitude of the world is the way it is today towards people of color. But the main thing I want to bring about is we blame the police officer. The police officer has a boss. That means his boss tolerated it. His boss has a boss, and that means his boss tolerated it. So as we go up these channels through these stages of the pursuit of justice, the pursuit of justice starts at the very top with the attorney Barr. It starts with him. He's the one that can make all the changes. And somebody needs to, and the only way we can force it, people, is to go out and vote. I vote every year. Every year I vote for a senator, a congressman, governor, whatever it may be. I do an absentee ballot, and I would like to move everyone else to do the same if they can't get in that day. And to the people I know, we are hurt. Our wages are hurt. But please stand in line. Sacrifice your wages that day, that you can get more wages later on in life, because that's the only way you're going to do it. We have to move up and vote. Without voting, we have no rights, and we have given up our rights forever. Okay, since I'm calling from Germany, I would like to conclude this by saying, brother, I love you.
Thank you, brother. We love you, too.
Okay.
We thank you for your contribution to today's family. I would like to thank all of the joining families for being supporters of this institution, MPH, and the work they have been doing in our communities. We thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We give our love
right,
to the people
bye-bye.
In Germany. All right, bye-bye.
I will.
All right. Brother Alexander, we're coming back to you, and like we said earlier, you have written some papers on different aspects of what's going on right now. We'd like to give you some more time to read the papers, and then we'll come back to our mother, 5146. We'd like to hear her final thoughts, and then we'll close it out for today's program. So, Brother Al Alejandro, you can share
yes.
with our listening audience some of your other thoughts that encompass all that's going on and have going on around this assassination of Brother George Floyd. The mic is yours.
Okay. Thank you. My brother made me real nervous. I thought he was going to come out and say some bad things about me. But anyway, he was a wonderful leader. He was a wonderful mentor. And I love him today. I went to Fort Bragg. I'll never forget that. And if you don't, the listeners don't mind. Fort Bragg, you know, is named for a Confederate general. I've always been against, you know, anything that's, you know, was about slavery or suppression or anything. And for me to go there and visit him there in that uniform, I'll never forget. It was our proudest moment because I know black men gave their lives, not only in the Civil War, but every war America had. But no respect did they get, none whatsoever. Medals years later given to them. So I appreciate my brother's service, and many of my brothers served. And so that's what we have to look at. You know, we serve America, but we get the worst service from America. Okay. Playing the race car. In the fourth grade, I read in a public library the transcripts of the trial of the British soldiers who killed the African-American patriot, Christopher Attucks. He is considered to be the first person to give his life for American independence and is a symbol of African-American struggle for freedom and equality. Many English laws benefited all the colonists, poor or wealthy. The men of wealth despaired of these laws and sought ways to control the poor with power and laws favoring them over the common man. The Continental Congress was formed to support the idea of total independence, self-government, and continued slavery. Johnny Cochran in the O.J. Simpson trial didn't play the first race card. It was played by the future second president, two-time vice president under Washington. during his closing argument in March 1770. He addressed the jury that Attucks, a big, angry black man brandishing a club with an extremely dangerous intent, was not only the leader of a mob, but also a beast of a man to be feared by all the good people of Boston. Attucks was not only the instigator, but also the first person to throw a blow to the good, scared European soldiers who stood their ground as ordered, though in fear of such a brutal man of color and his gang of cohorts. The first dream team of lawyers for the soldiers' defense consisted of John Adams, future second president, Josiah Quincy Jr. of the famous Sons of Liberty, Sampson S. Blower, owner of one of the largest law practices in Boston, and Robert Altman, future vice admiralty judge. Adams argued that the honorable white soldiers that the colonists hated so bad were better than the black man Adams, who questioned the British trade law. For a former black slave should have only shame but no rights before his white counterpart and should be dealt a death blow for his actions. These opinions by a lying future president of the U.S. stereotype African Americans, blacks, and men of color as a threat to the good white European Americans who came or were born in America. This trial was a sham and a disgrace as the soldiers were finally set free for killing a black man. Yet there was a mighty outcry from the colonists who saw the deaths of the white patriots by the hands of the British soldiers as a great injustice. So they met and planned the revolution against England, and the United States was born. For Attucks, we mourn a good, honorable, and decent man of color who gave his life believing America was better than that. Yet President John Adams' false statements about men of color years ago are still a perception by many whites today. And now we'd like to go to the present situation of the police officers, what's going on with the police. Fact Checker reports that by 2020, Donald Trump will have told more than 20,000 lies and untruths to the American people. How many lies has he told to foreign leaders who once believed in America? Presidents do lie, but not every time they speak. The former commanders of the U.S. Armed Forces are warning Americans of Trump's lying. We are in crisis with our world neighbors who trusted our system of justice. The police departments have been lying since the days they were formed as the slave patrols and the night watchmen. In 1704, the colony of Carolina, my own, developed the nation's first slave patrol. These patrolmen and watchmen helped to maintain the economic order and assist wealthy landlords in recovering and punishing slaves who essentially were considered property. Slave laws and statutes from 1689 to 1865 supported their capture, arrest, death, or hanging of any peaceful or runaway slave. These men were paid to bring in people of color, but they reported lies of their capture and death. These early policemen became the only justice in many colonies. After the nation was created, more laws gave them more power as deputies, sheriffs, and marshals. They often used lies, trickery, hangings, or shooting deaths when apprehending slaves. The American people trusted their position and power until their open lawless behavior during the Old West, when innocent white people were detained and killed with no remorse. Today, we see a wide range of unlawful acts by the police and their code of blue. They lie constantly about their unjust arrest of people. The people of America have lost faith once again in their judgment. It is now up to Congress and the American public to hold them accountable. Before you can't trust cops, who can you trust? The police should be our first line of freedom, not the enders of innocent life, as they have done so since they were created. Yes, better education and mental counseling to police to uphold the model we proudly serve and protect. Today, the police are viewed as we scare and intimidate unto death. Americans want no more of the slave patrol mentality. We must work together to change the hate in America. This starts with an honest police force. One bad cop in service anywhere means none of us are safe. A good cop should want him as a fellow officer. Stop the lying and deceit and uphold the law. We are tired of telling our children to be afraid of cops. For years we experienced good cops standing up for bad cops that kill our children, as the slave patrols did over 300 years ago. When will it stop? I pray for the day I will not have to tell my grandchildren to be cautious of lying, deceitful cops who are supported by an unjust system. And the last thing I would like to contribute is bad apples. A few bad apples. I remember as a child, I would pick up as many fallen apples as possible in our father's garden. Sometimes I would shake the trees and watch them fall. Then I would gather them all up and take them to my grandmother's house. Big Mom would separate them before we peeled them, always keeping the good from the bad. She said one bad apple will spoil the rest. The rotten and the badly bruised apples she would discard, and she saved them with the hull to feed to the neighbor's pig as plot. Big Mom made the best apple pies in the world. As we listen to the politicians and authorities, we are being led to believe in a few bad apples. Was Mark Furman just one bad apple in the LAPD? Bad apples are on every police department worldwide. They infected the rest of us. As we watched the bad apple, Officer Derek Chauvin murder George Floyd, did the other three good apples stop him? No, they were bruised also and should be locked away from society. The two bad officers in New York who pushed a 75-year-old man down should be fired and serve time also for assault. The 57 good apple officers should be reprimanded and demoted to the lowest pay and on desk duty for life, as they did nothing and walked past a human being without any care or compassion. I may seem harsh by some, though these officers take a job and an oath to serve and protect. The so-called good apple of police department have always stood by and were complacent with the actions of bad apples. Their actions have infected the justice system as police cover-ups. We would not know the truth about any arrest or prosecution without camera or video proof. Yes, I'm sure if Big Mom was alive, she would have thrown all of the apples out and made my favorite, chocolate pie. It takes chocolate, cocoa, longer to go bad, and the pies are so much sweeter. And I love your audience.
And Mr. Jordan, we'd like to thank you for your contribution on the Choose program. Your thoughtfulness in terms of what the life of George Floyd and his struggles represents, and your educational means of doing it is greatly appreciated. What we're going to do right now, we're going to go back briefly to a crowd of mother or whatsoever mother. We're going to bring one of the mothers in who was here earlier during the program and see if she has any final thought on this particular subject matter. Call Mother 5146. Mother 5146, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share in remembrance of George Floyd? And the struggle continues.
Mr. Floyd was a life. He was a beautiful black male. He deserved to have more respect and support than he got. My heart continues to bleed, and I offer my condolences to his family and to all those who know and loved him as the world loves him now. It's unfortunate, truly unfortunate, that it takes the life of a young man to bring the hate, the malice, the racism to the justice. I hope and pray that these officers will be convicted and we don't go through this ever again in our society. It's beautiful to hear the callers that shared their views and experience, and it's unfortunate also that we assume that people of color do not make a valuable contribution. Our family has lived in Berlin, Germany, for 4.5 years serving the military. We were based at Temple Off, and I think that when we came home, it was assumed that we had not made a contribution, but we paid our dues. Black people have paid their dues around the world and for years in history, but still it's assumed that we have not loved this country, and we do love America. We do respect America. We do make contributions to the life in America. It's unfortunate that we do not enjoy the money. We do not enjoy the job opportunities. We do not enjoy the health opportunities. It's unfortunate. They'll find a way to close us out rather than bring us into the circle. And I think that maybe somewhere along the way, as I said before, we're going to have to take the vote and we're going to have to call it to the attention that we deserve to have housing, education, health care, and opportunities the same as White America does. Thank you so much for recognizing and understanding that our hearts continue to bleed for Mr. George Floyd and his family. Thank you for sharing your news today.
I mean, thank you again, Mother Pittsburgh 46, for your contribution to today's program. I mean, now I'm going to go to our member and contributor of MPH Radio, Susie. Susie, your thoughts for today as relates to Brother George Floyd.
Hi, sorry about that. I had a problem with the phone. But I'd like to give my condolences to George Floyd's family. And I'd also like to state that George Floyd gave many of us a wake-up call to realize that this kind of injustices is happening over and over again, and it can happen to any one of us. Thanks to the new technology today, a bad situation ended up going to be a good situation, because I think by this happening to George, he was the one that got the movement started, that not only all black and brown people work together, but that we realize that change has to come, and hopefully it started the day he passed. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Susie. In closing, on behalf of Missing Pages of History and MPH Radio, we'd like to thank all our contributors to today's program, our listening audience, and our supporters. We just would like to say to the Floyd family that you are not alone. We are here for you. The best way we can serve the assassination of George Floyd is to continue the struggle. To continue the struggle for the total liberation and unification of African people, to continue the struggle for the freedom and justice for all mankind, and as Spike Lee would say, just do the right thing, just do the right thing. We are here for you, we are here for you. We'd like to remind you that because of the coronavirus pandemic, all activities under MPH, Missing Pages of History, has been suspended until further notice, but we are still scheduled to appear on our live TV program on Comcast and Fio, channel 95 and 36, in the Richmond Metropolitan Area of Virginia on Monday from 7:30 to 8:30, starting August the 3rd. We'd like to direct your attention to find out more about our organization and why we do the things we do. Please feel free to go to our website at www.mphinc.org. And if you would like to support the work of the radio station, you can show your love by sending it to Missing Pages History, Inc., P.O. Box 27, 782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. Until next time, this is a bi-weekly program. We ask all of you to continue to subscribe to our forward album, backwards level, and help us to continue to fill in our missing pages of history. We now leave you with the song of If You Had a Choice of Color, but I think the major question is, why should it have to be a choice? Again, we'll see you in 2 weeks, and thank you for supporting MPH Radio.
One would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you loved your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was
bigger life. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, oh, tell me, heaven is on the gear. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an art that Jesus told. I've that story has never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your life. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours unheard. And now you see the light, you stand up for your right. Yeah,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up.
Don't give up the fight.
Life is your right.
Get up, stand up.
You can't give up the fight.
Stand up for your right.
Lord, Lord.
Get up, stand up.
Keep on struggling on.
Don't give up the fight.
Yeah.
Sick and tired of your easing, kissing game. Dine and go to heaven in Jesus' name, Lord. We know and we understand. Almighty God is a living man. You can fool some people sometimes, but you can't fool all the people all the time. So now we see the light.
What you
we gonna stand up for?